Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry message. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Grobler.
Amen. You're going to be raised whole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So thank God for His glory. And you know, as we enter that glory, we're going to see more and more of the riches of God. And are you in the book of Romans chapter 9? Romans chapter 9. Let's just look at that verse again. And that He might make known the riches of His glory. Everybody say riches of His glory. On the vessels of mercy which He had prepared beforehand for glory. We've been talking about the fact that God's prepared us for the glory. He has created us to be carriers of His glory. And so that the glory would abide. But the Bible says that He might make known to us the riches of His glory. When He's talking about the riches of His glory, the riches means wealth. The wealth that is the full value. When you're talking about riches, you're talking about the excellence. You're talking about the full, incredible virtue and power that's in His glory, the different dimensions. Where another thing about riches, when you're talking about riches, you're talking about numerical, isn't it? Many things. His manifold wisdoms, the many things, the many, the multidimensional blessings and virtues and life-giving giftings. Hallelujah. The riches of His glory. And I believe that we're going to see a multidimensional riches of God's glory that through the church might make known to the world the riches of His glory. Hallelujah. Experiencing it in every different dimension. Thank God. Thank God the Holy Ghost is not monodimensional. He is multidimensional. Hallelujah. And you know, some people think, well, God bless me in this area. Others think, well, God bless me in that area. No, God blesses you multidimensional. Hallelujah. He gave you a body that needs multidimensional blessing. Amen. Both health and strength and wisdom and protection and provision and wisdom. Everything multidimensional that He might make known to you the riches of His glory. Hallelujah. When I was speaking to Pastor Fred this week, I was talking to him about the glory. And he said, Johnny, the glory is the Holy Spirit giving you the atmosphere of heaven. Hallelujah. Think of this wonderful Holy Spirit who manifests Himself, that you're experiencing the atmosphere of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about the Holy Spirit. He comes from that presence. Hallelujah. And when He manifests that presence, it is the atmosphere. But today, I want to speak to you about one of the dimensions of the glory. And Pastor Jimmy Crompton, when he was here on the Monday night, spoke about this dimension. He said, and it's the dimension of protection. That's one of the riches of His glory, divine protection. He that abides under the shadow of the Almighty, amen. He that dwells in the secret place of the Lord shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the protection of God. When you're in the secret place of God, there is a protection. There is a covering. Hallelujah. When you're in the secret place, He overshadows you. Amen. Like a hen would overshadow her chicks under her wings. When you're in that presence, we spoke of the fact that where there's glory, there's always angelic activity. There's always angels, because angels cover the glory. Angels protect the glory. Angels inhabit that place. We know that when Adam and Eve were pushed out of the garden, angels were put there with flaming sword to protect the glory. And so there's always angelic activations and angels manifesting into the earth dimension. When you in the glory, no evil can befall you. Hallelujah. And When I was praying about this and looking, the Holy Ghost was speaking to me about what he wants to do this week, what he wants to speak to you about today. How many of you know every time the Holy Ghost gives you a revelation, it's so that you can walk in it? Amen. And I'm just so blessed to know what God wants to do, because when I was praying about that, God started speaking to me about Jacob. And how the Bible says that Jacob had an experience with God. Jacob had a personal encounter with God. And when he had that encounter with God, the presence of God touched him. And because the presence of God touched him, how do you know that when the glory is there, it always lingers? Amen. I've been in many services, the glory and the presence of God is there. And when you walk out, there's the afterglow. It's almost like people want to talk to you, but you don't want to talk to them. Amen. You get home and somebody puts the TV on, you switch it straight back off because there's an afterglow. Amen. You're carrying the glory, His presence. But how many of you know that God wants us to now not only receive the glory, but abide in the glory? Hallelujah. Not a visitation, but a manifestation of His glory staying with you. And Jacob had this experience. The Bible says he comes to the river Jabbok. He has a personal encounter with God. The glory of God touches him, and the Lord smites him on the hip. And so he walks out limp from there, because that really speaks about the fact that from there he was not depending on the flesh. He was not walking the power of his own strength anymore. Hallelujah. He was walking with a limp. He had no more confidence in the flesh, but he was in the presence. Hallelujah. And he was carrying the glory of God. Let me tell you, when that glory of God rests on you, there's a reverence that comes. There's an awe that comes. There's a fear of God that comes on your life. When the glory is on you, people can't treat you like they want to. Hallelujah. When the glory is on you, the world has to handle you with care. Amen. Jacob had that glory. The presence of God was on Jacob. And the Bible says that Laban came, and Laban was pursuing Jacob. Jacob had left 7 days before. Laban is pursuing him with 400 foot soldiers. He's on his way to go overtake Jacob. And let me tell you, he was not coming to have a cup of tea. He was coming with evil intent. He was coming against Jacob. And that night, the Bible says, the Lord appears to Laban and says to him, see that you say nothing, neither good nor evil against Jacob, because you're a dead man. When the glory is on you, the fear of you will come on your enemies. God says, now, I'm protecting this man. There's glory on him. Before Laban could treat Jacob just like he wanted, he cheated Jacob out of a bride. He gave him a wrong bride, made him work 14 years instead of 7 years. Then another 7 years to have something to take with him. And he changed his wages 10 times. He kept cheating him. When he is spotted and speckled lambs, then he says, no, the stripes are yours. When he has the stripes, he says, no, the spotted and speckled of yours. He was cheating him. He had Jacob in fear of his life, so much so that Jacob had to steal away at night. And when he was pursuing Jacob, he had every evil intent. Later on, we hear that the Bible says when he came to him, he said, listen, everything you have is mine. The children are mine. Your wives are mine. Your cattle is mine. Everything is mine. He thought it's his. And I tell you, he could treat Jacob the way he wanted to before. But because Jacob had an encounter with God and the glory of God came on Jacob, the Lord appeared to him and said, now be careful. I tell you, when the glory of God is on you, the fear of God comes on you. Hallelujah. Your enemies can't treat you like they want to. They can't say and do what they want. The Bible says in Genesis 31:24, God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And something is absolutely amazing. Jacob has that experience. Jacob has that meeting with Laban. When Laban meets with Jacob, he's under fear of his life. He's careful what he says. He's careful what he does. And now the next morning, he kisses his daughters. He kisses his grandchildren. He kisses everybody goodbye. And he leaves. And as he leaves, something happens. I've never seen this before. Look at it. Verse 1 of Genesis 32. He's just finished in that meeting. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Second time, Jacob has an angelic visitation. And the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. He had that meeting. As Laban leaves, suddenly God makes him aware. There's angelic visitations around him. Angels manifest. And Jacob looks at it and he says, "This place is Mahanaim." Mahanaim means double camp. I was camping here and Laban visited me. But while I was here, there was a double camp. There was the camp of the angels. The angels was encamping around me while I was having a camp with Laban. Hallelujah. The Bible says he gives his angels charge about you. There are many more that are for you than those that are against you. When you're in the glory, the angels encamp. Hallelujah. The place of the glory is the place of the double camp. Hallelujah. 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 Oh man, I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. 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 He has an encounter. He has the experience of God's glory. And there where his enemies come, there's a double camp happening. Tell your neighbor, Mahanaim. Hallelujah. You're speaking a Hebrew word. Speaking Hebrew. Tell your neighbor, Mahanaim. A double camp. God is saying there's a double camp. Hallelujah. And his presence is with you. And let me tell you, the fear of you is going to come on your enemies. Hallelujah. The fear of you is going to come on your family. The reverence of the presence. Hallelujah. Where they've treated you disrespect before, there's going to be respect and honor. Hallelujah, because that's a result of the glory. Jacob had that experience and suddenly it's double camp. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my Lord, I feel this word is manifesting here for you today. Double camp over your life. Hallelujah. And while I'm praying about that, I'm rejoicing that God reminded me about a testimony of a lady. The lady that came, and her testimony was this. She said she had a husband that used to beat her. He used to physically beat her. He used to abuse her. He used to go drinking till late at night, treated her just like he wanted to, ran around with other women, come home, abuse her, abuse the children, beat them, come home drunk till she was in fear of life. So much so that eventually she sent her children away to go live with family, scared that he's going to kill them. And that night, she says, he went and he was drinking again. And he was on his way home. And so she was in fear for her life that day. She says, "He's going to beat me again." And it's been getting progressively worse. And so while he's out drinking, she got desperate for God. And she started praying, and she had an encounter with God. How many of you know that if you know somebody's on his way to beat you, you're going to get desperate? You're not going to pray sweet Jesus, tender and mild prayers. Hello? You're going to cry out. And she cried out for the living God, and God met her. She says the presence of God manifested, and God spoke to her and he said, "Peace." And she says that night when he got home, she was all worried because he got home just after midnight, drunk like always, and ready to come and give her a beating. But she says he walked into the house, and somehow she managed to duck and dive him, and he went to bed and he went to go sleep. And this is the testimony. That night while he's sleeping, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Be careful that you do not lift your hand to my child or say anything to her. You're a dead man." He woke up the next morning in fear of his life. Apparently, he woke up instantly sober. He went to the kitchen because he realized that the hand of God is on this woman. He goes to the kitchen. He goes and makes her a breakfast. And he comes back. Thank God. May God put the fear of God on these men. Amen. He comes back. He brings her breakfast in bed. And he said, "My darling, I just want to say sorry." She says, for the first time, he called her my darling. He apologized. "I'm so sorry." He went to work. He didn't go to the bar afterwards. He came straight back home to her. And he told her how much he loves her. And guess what? He started taking her out. She says he started treating her like a princess. Their lives are completely changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the glory of God is on you, God will warn your enemies. You're a dead man. And let me tell you, while I was praying, this is what the Holy Ghost said is going to happen here for a lot of women sitting in this place. God's going to appear. You have your encounter with God. Let your husband have his encounter with God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. I believe that God is going to do that in this house. Amen. 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 I said hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's going to be a turnaround in the relationships, in the marriages, in the homes of this church. Hallelujah. You're not going to serve God on your own anymore. Your husband's going to get a visitation from God. Amen. Amen. You know, some people are so worried that God would visit their spouse. You visit God. You get your breakthrough with God. Amen. I remember when we first got married, I used to pray every day, "God, change my wife." Amen. Because after all, I'm more spiritual than her. So I thought. Until one day I was praying, "God, change my wife." God said, "You, I've got you in my sights." He changed me. Amen. When you're in covenant, all you need to do is get God to change you, because that covenant will cause the anointing to touch both. Somebody say amen. Amen. And thank God when he changed me, then my wife changed. Hallelujah. But we've got a covenant-keeping God. And understand this, when you have the experience, when you have the glory of God on you, the fear of you will come on those others around you. The protection of God. He gives his angels charge, concern over you. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, Mahanaim. Double camp. Hallelujah. There where you camp, it looks like a natural thing. But angels are encamping as well. While the moment Jacob had that experience with God, angels were set to protect that glory. And he was in a double camp. Amen. And that's the experience of this house. That's the experience you have where you are. The hand of God is on you. God wants to commune with you. God's taking this church into the glory of his presence. Amen. Into the glory of his presence. And we must keep hungry for God. God wants to commune with you. As I said before, he's a covenant-keeping God, body, soul, and spirit. Amen. Amen. He communes. The glory rests on you. Now, you and I need to understand that when God communes with you, there's the outer court, the inner court, and the holy place. There's three dimensions of communion. There's three dimensions where the glory touches. Amen. Where the Spirit of God moves on you. There's The outer court, the inner court, and the holy place. Really, what it's talking about is your body, your soul, and your spirit. The outer court is likened to your body. The inner court is the soul. And the holy of holies is your spirit. Amen. When you think about those three levels of communication, what does the anointing do? What does the Spirit of God do when He comes and He communes with you? When the presence of God comes on you? Well, the outer court, the body, needs to be cleansed. Amen. The clean hands, the actions are purified. Who shall go to the mountain of the Lord? But he has clean hands. So your actions, when the glory comes, your actions change. You can't be a born-again bank robber. Amen. When the glory comes, you stop the drinking. Amen. When the glory, when the presence of God, when the cleansing of the hands come, the things you do changes. That's what communion does to the outer court. But then communion does something to the inner court. What does it do to the inner court? The inner court is the soul. The soul must be transformed. The presence has the effect of cleansing the outer court, transforming the inner court. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. The soul gets transformed. The soul gets cleansed by the washing of the word. Amen. That soul is renewed. That soul becomes the mind of Christ. Your soul starts acting on the word. The soul has a new heritage. Man, I was blessed when I heard David speak. And he said, your word has become my heritage. I said, my God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, with the word comes so much into you that it becomes your heritage. Hallelujah. We all got different heritages. We all got different cultures. But the word becomes your heritage. It becomes your culture. It's naturally the way you act and you think. Hallelujah. And then there's the third dimension of communion with God. And that's your spirit, the holy of holies. And your spirit needs to be sanctified. Communion. It's the infilling of the spirit. Sanctification is different to consecration, by the way. Many church people don't know that. Consecration is your cleansing. Fit for heavenly use. Sanctification is the infilling. The glory coming. Your spirit is the place where the glory dwells. Hallelujah. And so you have these three dimensions. And as I was thanking God and thinking about communicating this with you, the dimensions of communion. You commune with God in the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, the body, the soul, the spirit. The communion has the effect of cleansing, transforming and filling. Hallelujah. As I was thinking about that, the Lord said to me, and tell them that this is not a numerical thing. Oh, not numerical, sequential. It's not sequential. In other words, when you look at that, I used to think that God starts with the outer court. Get your hands clean. Once it's clean, now you're ready for the inner court. Get your soul done. Once that's done, now you're ready for God said it. What doesn't work like that? It is simultaneous. Why? Because when you get born again, you get born of the Spirit. The Spirit rests on you, and He does all three at the same time. Hallelujah. That's why the glory is for every believer. Who shall go to the mountain of the Lord? That's a hunger for God. That's a place of the glory. But he has clean hands and a pure heart. As the presence, as the glory comes, hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free, hallelujah. Works in every dimension of my life. From the moment you're born again, you're ready for the glory. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God works in all three dimensions. From glory to glory. And this is a very important point, because I used to think I don't qualify. I used to think it's sequential. But I want you to know it begins in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's the anointing that breaks the yokes. It's the glory that comes and changes. When the presence of God comes, you don't want the alcohol. You don't want the wine. You don't want those things. Something has changed on the inside, and it works from the inside out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Religion works from the outside trying to get in. Religion can't get past the outer court. Can teach you how to act, don't and do. So you don't drink while the pastor's looking. Amen. If you do anything, because a Christian is near you, you're acting. You're religious. You need a move of the Holy Ghost. Hello. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is reality. Hallelujah. I don't not drink because there's Christians around. I don't because I've got the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what's wrong with people who go on holiday and then they let their hair down. You've allowed your life to become about outer court, about do's and don'ts. This is about a hunger for God. James reveals these three dimensions. I'll just show them. And there's something amazing to talk about these three dimensions of communion with God. And James says this. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. That's the hunger for God. That's the realm of the glory. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. James 4 verse 8. Cleanse your hands, O your sinners. That's the body. The outer court gets cleansed. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's the transforming of the mind, the soul. It's very interesting when you talk about that. David used the same thing. Who shall go to the mountain of the Lord, the place of the glory? But he has clean hands and a pure heart. But I looked at that and, you know how we are. We all got our preconceived thoughts and ideas. Outer court, inner court, holy place. And I said, Lord, these scriptures would have been wonderful if you started it first by cleansing your hands, then purifying your soul, and then get to the glory. Why do you put it that way around? God said to me, it's because I start work in your spirit. Who shall go to the mountain? That's where it starts. Hallelujah. He says here, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you, and then He'll cleanse your heart, and He'll cleanse your soul. It's His glory. And so what qualifies us is not what you do, and you know, there are a lot of people that are good boys and good girls who never experience the glory. Because it's not about a good boy and a good girl. It's about having a hunger for God. Hallelujah. That's where the presence is. That's where the glory is. A hunger and thirst after the living God. My soul cries out for the living God. And the glory comes and works in all three dimensions. Aren't you glad it's all at the same time? Hallelujah. That did something for me. How about you? That did something for me. I said, my God, thank you. I don't have to qualify. Hallelujah. I don't have to work at this thing. All I do is say, I'm a born again child of God. I'm created for your glory. Fill this vessel, Holy Spirit. I hunger and I thirst after you, the living God. Let your presence and your glory come, Spirit of God, because it's Him that changes us. Hallelujah. How many of you, when you got born again, you stopped drinking or whatever? You don't know how that happened. Amen. None of you wonderful people. I know none of you ever did those things. It just changed. Why? He works on the inner court, in the place of His habitation. He qualified you through the blood. He made you in Christ Jesus so that you're a receiver, so that you're a qualifier and a holder of the inheritance, who's the Holy Ghost. And He works the rest out. Come on, just lift your hand and say, thank you, Holy Ghost. You work the rest out. It's your glory. Fill me, fill me, fill me. Fill me with your glory. Lord, we want a personal experience of you. We thank you for your presence and your glory. The outpouring of your precious Spirit, my God, on these vessels of glory today. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm so happy that I don't have to change to get your glory. I have to just be hungry. And it's you that comes. It's your anointing that breaks the yoke. It's your Spirit that quickens me. It's your glory that changes me. It's your anointing that cleanses me and purifies me and transforms me. I love you, Heavenly God. I love you, wonderful Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. You are welcome here. Fill my heart. Fill me. Give me the atmosphere of glory. Just yield to Him. Just long for Him. Just drink His presence yet today. The glory of God. On these vessels of glory. Shabanda Gera Dabo Kesi Antona Ramaya. Man Sandera Gobo Sikendero Mosiana Maya. Yes, Lord, more of you. More of you, Spirit of God. More of you. It's you that comes. It's you that beautifies your temple. It's you that glorifies your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, you can visit us on our Durban Christian Center Bluff or Wentworth Facebook page, or contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you, and God bless.